zu Gast jetzt bei uns. Martin und Ilja vom ITZ, vom Institut für Theatrale Zukunftsforschung und vom Projekt European Freaks. Und darum läuft das Interview dann auch auf Englisch. So let's switch to English to talk about the European Freaks. Hello, pleased to meet you.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for having us here.
A European performance theater project from Hungary to Germany, from Budapest to Tübingen. How is that organized? How was that came to life?
So, well, I'm a theater director in Hungary, Budapest, and we have a collective called Stereo Act. And we came here to Tübingen to work together with the Zimmer Theater Tübingen to create this show about the future of Europe with the title European Freaks. It was all a coincidence. First, 1.5 years ago, we created a participatory gamey performance, also with the theme of Europe. It was mainly focusing on the Brexit in the CHB, in the Collegium Hungaricum Berlin. We played it 9 times and it was a great fun. We used the entire building of the CHB and it was like an exit game. So audience had to escape from Europe and find the right solutions to collaborate or to not collaborate with each other. And later on, this was created between Stereo Act, my collective, and with a Berliner collective called Hansiana. And later on, maybe 2 months later, Hansiana hosted a conference, or they were presenting also the Escape Room Europe project. And Dieter and Per Ribberger took part on this. And they discovered one of their old colleagues, Gábor Turi, who used to work at the Thalia Theater Hamburg, together with Dieter. They discovered him on one of the videos. And then they reached out to him, asked, "What the hell are you doing in this project? And it looks interesting. Please introduce us to your theater group." And Gábor is our dramaturg at the Stereo Act. So that's how the link was made, and we started a conversation, and then we decided together to do this show in their first season here in Tübingen.
So you met in Berlin, but then you kept contact and developed your own project.
First, of course, like many relations and professional relations in Europe, we met first on Skype. So first we just met in person in November, but we already laid out the collaboration and we fundraised money together. And so it had already a pretty good base, but November was the first time when we actually faced what Tübingen is and when we put together what we both like to experiment with here.
But the outlines were already set, the fund was raised. So what were the outlines in the beginning?
So
not Brexit, but more the opposite.
The initiative was that it's going to be a research situation or a theatrical research framework when we are investigating the possible utopian and dystopian scenarios of the EU. And for this, we'll have a very colorful artistic team. Also, I can tell you about them later, but it's a very great team we work with. And also local civilians we'd like to stage. So there will be a group of civilians with us on the stage who take part on a so-called market research situation within the framework of which we are trying to rebrand the EU and figure out if we need a complete reanimation, if it's in life danger, or we just need a cosmetic facelift. And throughout talking about like emotional reflections and the aesthetics and I don't know, all the fears and all the threats and all the desires related to the EU, probably we'll understand more about our political attitudes and what is the roots of all this sometimes hysterical, sometimes realistic fear about our future, the way we should live together. So this was the idea that we'll create a participatory theater production, so-called Bürgerbühne piece, which we often do in Hungary as well. Most of our theater productions, we involve civilians, sometimes just as a research phase for the rehearsal processes, and sometimes finally they end up on the stage. We really attract to this thing that there is a certain reality and a certain certain scenes when the spontaneity has an important role, and also this kind of poetic documentary is something we do often with Stereo Act, that we take a fragment of reality and rethink it with artistic tools.
And the kind of the research, you take the methods of the market, or you imitate the commercial process?
Yes, exactly. So this focus group, let's say, that we'll finally stage, for which we actually still seek for voluntary participants. We have a bunch of people who are willing to take part, but we'd like to have a bigger group of people, like 15, 20. So they will take part in the show with simple tools. We are going to use the exact same tools like market research does. So they are brainstorming, they are being interviewed, they build collages, they play association games, end a sentence instead of us, and so on. But these are like proved techniques or methods that work, and it's also, obviously, it will not only be provocative but very funny or entertaining, I guess.
It's proved in research. Is it also proved in reality, in artistic reality? So you used that before?
No, not the focus group research. This is a new format we are experimenting with. However, in the beginning of January, we asked a professional researcher to come with us to a special studio where they have this one-way see-through windows, like a spy window. And the focus group of 7 people plus the moderator was sitting in one room, and all of us, all the actors and team members from Stereo Act, were sitting on the other side. So, but there we were basically researching how a moderator behaves, not really the answers. And the topic was political, and it's always very interesting how this group of people really believes that now they are going to create something and they become decision makers, because they are posed really serious questions that we all have opinion about, and there are little debates and fights, and it's really tensed. But meanwhile, they all know that they just take part in a game. But just like when we are children and we have a game, we all take it super serious, and then the real personalities and the real emotional and political attitudes come out. So this is the model we are trying to recreate, of course, with much more theatrical tools.
And what about the freaks? So the research tools, this is not nothing about freaky methods, but you want to encourage.
We discovered that the word freak is controversial, so we already had questions and comments about that it's rather negative or pejorative. But honestly, the research phase here started with a convention, a conference, which was called European Freaks, and this was the initiative of the ITS, which we were really grateful about, because it was we were given an opportunity where we can meet lots of local and some international thinkers and students and journalists and sociologists and activists, and we could brainstorm nearly 3 days about the future of Europe. So this was a great opportunity, and this conference was originally called European Freaks, and we liked the title so much that we finally decided that the performance will also be titled European Freaks. For us, it means more like if there's anyone who should feel like a freak nowadays, or who are the real freaks, and if the minority opinions or those which first sound really weird and provocative very often finally make it to the ones that will save us. And it's, yeah, like I think feeling like an outcast nowadays is not a it's I think it's a quite general idea, so I think that's why we finally chose to go with this freak word, because I think it's so relative what is normal and what is abnormal, especially nowadays when we can't really decide what a fact is and what's real and what's not.
And what about the history of the collective?
So Stereoact was founded in 2013. This is our sixth season. We premiered 13 productions, like all night long, or repertory productions. Plus, we do lots of one-off events, such as flash mobs and other actions. And all our shows are contemporary theater shows, whatever it means. For me, it means that it's always a product or a result of collective research with the collective. So we never work based on a text which was originally written, or not drama based, more like post-dramatic and interdisciplinary performances. And sometimes we work also not only in a theater hall, but also outside, like in public space or site-specific performances. And we work quite often internationally. In the past few years, we produced shows. This is our second production in Germany, but we worked in Poland and Spain and Netherlands, and in the United States also, and in Denmark. And it's an independent theater, which is obviously, also in Germany, it's clear that it's always with bigger freedom, bigger responsibilities come also. So we also rely on collaborations and partnerships. So basically working somewhere which is not our own home, and discover the local people and local traditions and the local attitudes is not new for us. It's something we're really interested in. Just before coming here, we premiered something in Budapest, and in the beginning of the season in the autumn we were in New Mexico, where we recreated one of our existing work. It was a bus ride theater tour where the people sit on a tour bus, they listen to headphones, live edited audio material, and they follow the scenes from the street, from station to station, and all the actors are performing acts in the street. And this was, for example, a successful show of ours that we created in three different cities. So it's like a cultural franchise. This is also something we are experimenting with, how to transport form, but fill it with new content.
So you're good in experimenting, in networking, in fundraising? This is also what you need besides?
Not me personally, unfortunately, but we are definitely, ever since we exist, we are seeking for collaborations. So in Hungary, we work with all the open theaters that you could name, because it's also our interest to work in different environments and not to stuck in one little studio theater, not because it's not prestigious, but because it's we have to provoke ourselves and always find new obstacles and find new situations. So we can maintain ourselves mainly through co-producers and international applications. So yeah, this is part of our job, and I think many of the freelancers know that being a freelancer artist is a big part of management also, and it's very tiring, of course, but it's part of it.
It's part of it, and you can survive, you can do your living on this.
Yes, which is especially when we were in the United States, then we realized how privileged we are, because there you cannot find any artist, only from the very top 1,000 ones who are starring in television and in movies who can live out of art. So actually in Europe we can be really proud of this, and we can really I think we should be aware that it's a privileged thing to live out of art.
You don't need a daytime job.
Yeah, exactly.
And the whole collective.
The whole collective.
You're sharing? Have you a share model?
Yes, fortunately, yes. But our collective is this team that came to Tübingen. There is a dancer choreographer who also performs in many different kind of formats. There is a sound designer, there is an animator, graphic animator who performs on stage, and there are three performers who are more into theater works, but they are all freelancers and also part of Stereo Act, but they all have their own individual works, and like one of them works frequently with another or with some other independent theaters. So everybody works a lot, and sometimes it's really hard to have quality time together. But for example, traveling abroad and producing a show in another city, not in your hometown, is also a very lucky situation, because there we can focus 100%.
24/7?
Yeah, nearly.
And your, well, the knowledge as a director, where did you get that? Did you study or...?
Well, I studied in the Theatre and Film Arts University of Budapest, and in the dramaturgy department for 5 years, so I have a so-called master in it. But during my university years, I started already Stereo Act, and since then I also worked in some other fields, so I did some work for other theatres. Last year I directed an opera for the National Operetta Theatre in Hungary, which was quite a different kind of work, and it's independent from Stereo Act. So, and I also made a documentary movie 2 years ago, so I would say mostly in practice, like everybody. So,
back to European freaks, and back to Tübingen, back to the research you did, or what you said you're doing when you come to another town. What have you found out in Tübingen about the city, but also related to the artistic process?
From a Hungarian perspective, the first thing you face that many people are very aware of politics, people are well informed. Sometimes I have the feeling that the German media talks about Hungary more than the Hungarian itself, but it's a compliment in my opinion. I guess Tübingen is special because of its international and because of its student society, because it's not just a group of people, but it's actually the society here. I think it's for me, but probably it's for a Tübingen person, it's a cliche, but it's very striking for a visitor that there is this beautiful downtown, and it's not died out, and it's not a museum, but it's actually vivid, and there are people who are using it, and it's always a nice crowd. And I think for us it's mainly this the people being eager to talk about politics and talk about the society and having debates. And it's for me, it's a very nice experience that politics and social issues is not something that we keep far away because we are frustrated of talking about it, because if we feel that we are not well informed enough, or if we feel that we have a different idea, or if we have different experiences or different background, in Hungary we rather not talk about it and let's just skip it. It's just politics, and I don't feel this kind of attitude or this bubble or this separation. But actually, yeah, the community is our life, or our life is about how we create our communities. And I for me, this is an impression I have here in Tübingen.
And you have the collaboration, and you have your own team, you brought your collective, but you're doing a job with Ilya and, well, people who are interested. Ilya, what's your part in this European Freaks?
So I joined the production as a production assistant, and I'm here like to help to realize this project. And now I'm like joining the rehearsal processes and assisting during the rehearsals at the Löwen Theater.
How did you get involved?
I started as an intern at the Zimmertheater Tübingen last October, and I was already assistant at the PASS project, which had its premiere last Saturday, and now I'm like part of this project, and this is also very interesting to work on the future of Europe in an artistic way.
What are your impressions so far?
So Stereoact is a very nice collective. We have a lot of fun during the rehearsals, and yeah, there are many interesting, funny characters. The actors are great. What I have seen so far is also very inspiring, because the way Stereoact works with the audience is very interactive, and it's nothing you just watch. It's something you attend. It's something you are asked to attend, and this is very. So I joined one rehearsing process where I felt very special because of how the actors were interacting with me.
Yeah, can you describe this?
So I don't want to spoil too much, but
do it.
Okay, I do. It was about rebranding the EU or the European idea, and actually something Martin just told. It was about finding a new image for the European flag, for the European currency, looking for another song for the EU, and you play replacing like the old traditional music, which stands for the European Union. And it was a lot of fun, and I mean it was just the beginning, so I'm very curious where this whole process is going to.
You already found a new currency, and is everything already done?
I wouldn't say so, but I think I saw the process and the way how we will find like a new brand for Europe, and this is very inspiring. So it makes a lot of fun, like thinking of utopian ideas and becoming part of this process forming the EU.
What was your perception of the EU, of the European community, before you joined that?
Actually, I never thought so much about it, but I mean, you're born into the EU, so you're somehow a European citizen. But like all the flag, the currency, all this stuff is something people decided from above. You never were part of the branding process of the EU, so you cannot like form it, or it's something, it seems very, very, very static. But actually, I mean, the EU should be something very dynamic. Therefore, it's so interesting to form the EU and rebrand it in a like performative way. with Stereo Act together.
Did you have a European consciousness kind of that?
I mean, I'm traveling a lot in the EU, and I try to meet a lot of friends and try to get to know people, but it seems so normal to do so. And I mean, all the political changes in the last years are very, very, it's not easy. And I think it's always restricting freedom is a process which you always have to be aware of. I mean, there's nothing is normal in our society, and therefore we should always ask what is it, what we have, where are we living in. And I think theater and performance is a good way to do so, like to think of our ways and our environments we could live in.
What was your perception of the European community before you started?
Yeah, while Ilya was telling us about this, I just realized that how big difference it is for a German to born into the EU and for a Hungarian when we joined the EU when I was already a teenager, let's say. So we joined the EU in 2004. And it was a big day. I remember I went to a concert for my favorite band, and it was like a huge celebration that a huge part of the society agreed with. I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was a high participation on the voting about it, and it was above 75%, I guess. And somehow, despite of all the anti-Brussels propaganda that the government does today, being part of the EU is still a much more popular idea or opinion among the voters than the ones who are against, which is one of the very few good tendencies in Hungary. So I just, because of the government's, the Hungarian government's rhetorics about anti-Brussels, let's name it just briefly like this. Our main attitude, like for those who care about the European idea, is the first thing that. How to describe this? So we don't get to the criticism of Europe because our first role in Hungary within our own environment is to protect the European idea. So somehow I think by being such a fresh country in the EU and being such a fresh European, somehow I feel like that our critical views are many times more immature than for a Western person, because for us so many things are not obvious that are obvious for a German person. So I could say many Hungarian leftish or liberal people are more naive also about the EU because it's still a dream and it's still a hope and it's still the chance for becoming part of a more solider and more liberal society. And whenever we are abroad, we tend to be more and more critical also against the EU. But being critical against the EU in Hungary means relating to populistic ideas. So that's a little complication in my case.
Do you think the Viktor Orbán would have come to power without being in the EU? Is there?
First, he came into power without the EU. Yeah, so his first government was in 1998. So 6 years before the EU. For me, it's more like the question if he was wouldn't have been changed in 2002 if he would ever join the EU. But fortunately, we did. And I think, he feels. And the government feels the EU more as a restriction that, of course, they have to adapt, until a certain levels because of all those incomes and fundings we get from the EU, but in most of the daily life, it's just an unnecessary restriction.
But there are a lot of benefits for, or even for the government in their...
Mostly for the government,
power, yeah.
Unfortunately, we have to say so. This is one of the main issues that, like, corruption, I guess, is one of the main problems in Hungary, that the country, let's say it out loud, it's led like mafia state, and many of the EU funds are stolen by this newly forming oligarchic system, which is kind of new. I mean, this in many aspects, Hungary learns a lot from the Russian system, and we are even doing better in some ways, because it's much faster and, yeah, it's quicker and very professional, and they have all the support to do that. But of course, now I'm joking about it, but it's really exploiting your own citizens to do corruption in such a systematic way. And and also it's like the economical power is related with the media also. So the one who has the power in the media has the power on the rhetorics and about the themes that people think about. And if you have power on the themes, then you can lead opinions and you can make everybody think about the same thing. So in Hungary, many of the voters who have access only to governmental media, they still think that or tend to think that the migration crisis is still an issue and we are still threatened, and of course the whole image is drawn in a much more terrific way than it is actually. So this is a catch 22 at the moment, because the voters are influenced by the media, which is owned by the government, and it can do it because it has the power to control all those monies which they need.
And there's a new nationalism is really rising there. Also the being proud of the Hungarian traditions. This is also really in opposite to the kind of the idea of Europe or of the European citizenship.
Yeah, well, so the for an authoritarian leader, it's very important always to create an enemy image, and in order to, and once you have an enemy, you have to have your own, and you have to have your own team, and obviously this is based on cliches about the traditions and the great skills of the Hungarians. Whenever, for example, one of the oligarchs win an application to build some new stadiums or bridges or whatever, the rhetoric is always that we are supporting the Hungarian investors and the little Hungarian interpreter
entrepreneurs,
like the contractors, or yeah, like little companies, these very little companies. And I think isolation and isolating ourselves is one of the most dangerous tendencies that are happening. And I'm just really hoping that not so many countries will step on this very easygoing way, because it's so easy to influence the people that way and make statements out of a war rhetorics or benefit from it. So I hope this will soon end also in Hungary and in Poland, because it's like, I think populism is a very tempting thing, something that can seduce the leaders, and it's a huge control from the society is needed, and awareness, and for this you have to be involved, and it's important that the society is active and they don't take democracy granted, because it's not. Even if it lasts for 60 years, it can go so fast. And that's what we learned in the past 8 years in Hungary.
How would they appear in the theatrical performance here in Tübingen? Would there be a Hungarian perspective?
Appear?
Also? Yeah.
It doesn't have a very important role. It has more general messages. And mostly we are investigating the personal and emotional attitudes behind our political views, and this performance is not trying to be a conservative shaming something, because this is not the goal, obviously, but we are trying to be critical towards ourselves and question if I don't like those political performances when we all agree completely and we are just blinking to the audience and they are laughing, yeah I got the joke, yeah, that's exactly how I feel, because it's easy. So we are trying to pose questions also that we are not necessarily on the same page with each other, and something that can cause conflicts, because I guess, for example, I just mentioned corruption as a systematic thing, but it's also a question of attitude, and many of us behave corrupt sometimes, and it's also like something a person has to fight against in him or herself. And also, if we talk about stereotypes, no one is an angel, and everyone has prejudices, and also when we come to democracy, sometimes we feel like that our opinion is stronger than the others, so we are also not instinctuously democratic people or human beings. So this is something also that we could question, and also how we share the benefits is also not something very obvious, because throughout our education and how we were raised, we have an idea what equality is, and we can practice it within a small circle or in a small community, but we are not able to practice it globally. So it's also a question that we are posing in this performance, that if it's possible to talk about only Europe, or mostly we are talking about global issues, because it's also kind of nationalistic in a way, but not in the original in the traditional sense, if we only talk about European Union and we don't care about what happens in North Africa or in Turkey or in Asia. So these are all those themes that we are trying to bring up. And also such tendencies like digitalization and artificial intelligence through more like the gamey layer of the performance, because just another spoiler alert that some of our moderators will be real human beings, but artificial intelligences. So we are also, this is one of the way to talk about the new ways of colonization in the performance, but I just can suggest to anyone to check by themselves in the middle of March.
Lots of content to condense two-hour performance. So, which is your artistic approach? You said some. Is that different scenes? Are they linked together by digital moderators, or is there already the form?
Yeah, the form set. Is so mainly when the people arrive, they will be seated to tables, and each group of 4 or 5 audience members will have one table, and they will take part in a conference, really, or like a workshop situation. So it has a certain kind of lounge feeling or general atmosphere with lots of music and with lots of interactive parts and with many games that can be done at the tables by the audience. So when the people, so audience will not have this sense that it's a very strictly structured event, however it is, but they feel like that it's rather loose, and they at some points they are encouraged to talk to each other and to not to pay attention on what is happening on stage. But sometimes this is interrupted by more choreographic, more strictly directed scenes, and part of it is when we are focusing on one main table where the focus group sits, who will take part on those tests or let's say therapy sessions and analytic scenes. And sometimes we can see the organizers themselves and organizers of this conference or focus group research when they are in private, when they are behind the scenes, when they talk about the research group participants, when they train themselves, and when we understand how hypocritic they are and how honest the whole conference is. Like many times we can witness it on European projects that we do it because it sounds good, because it was just perfect for an application, and we did it, and then we are very proud of ourselves, but really we didn't come up with anything new. We just told all those important headliners like always. So basically it's going to be sarcastic and self-critical this way.
You already have all the participants of the local area?
We have some, but we are still looking for at least 10 more people, and we are hoping to get a very diverse crowd, all ages and different backgrounds, and probably different nationalities as well. So, and they are not required to have any theatrical background. We are just looking for open-minded and curious people who are willing to share their ideas also. And I think it's also great fun because we are organizing two workshops. One, the first workshop will be next weekend. These are 4 or 5 hours long workshops, and we'll play lots of games, and everyone can decide afterwards if it's something that they expected, and so it's completely voluntary if they want to continue along or not. So it can be interesting for all those who are willing to know how a contemporary theater team works nowadays and how this devised show is being created, and also for those who are more interested in the topic and European issues and politics and society. So I think this could attract great amount of people. So anyone who is still interested is still open, and they can contact the Zimmertheater Tübingen.
It's the normal, which email or phone? Well, the people find it on Zimmertheater, the ITS website.
Yes, it's easy to find.
And it's on, the workshop is on Friday? Saturday?
On Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday.
The first workshop?
23rd and 24th.
Yes.
Of February. And the premiere of the FreaksCon theater play is, or performance, is on Thursday, March 14th. And then you have 5 more performances at the Löwen.
Yes, right.
So what still, it seems to be really well thought, almost rehearsed. What's still to come? What are the next steps?
Now we are, in the following week, we are finalizing the structure of the performance, and we start a little bit more traditional way of rehearsing after this long research project. So we are writing texts and rehearse the characters and also building the stage. So this is an exciting switch now. We just moved into the Leuven, which is a very interesting location for us. It's a former cinema, and it has a very, very socialistic or socialist interior design. We feel very attracted to it, and but it's spacious and it has a really good vibe. And we had also the starting conference there, so we were mainly inspired by that atmosphere. So these are the next steps.
Yeah, what's your job exactly? What are your tasks during this process?
I organize like the rehearsal schedule, or I communicate between Stereo Act and the theater, because I mean Stereo Act is rehearsing at the Leuven. I try to coordinate the rehearsing process, and fortunately there is another production assistant, Sophie Eckert. She is managing all the contact with the Bürgerbühne, and I as an assistant I try to do my best to help the production succeed, and also helping of course with theater stuff in the bureau and marketing stuff like that. But mostly I am part of the rehearsing processes. I'm trying like to fulfill all the wishes Stereo Act brings with them into the rehearsing process.
But sometimes it's not so clear the line between organizing and acting. So
how do you mean this?
Well, as you said before, they were playing with you.
Yeah, right. This may be also an interesting point because of this interactive structure. Of course, they need to try out some stuff they like work on during the rehearsing process. And as an assistant, I'm the first person they can try out and experiment on. And I think if I understood it correctly, they also need a test audience, right? In the next, like, especially during the last weeks of...
Yes, I think we will put out another call about it, because obviously interactive scenes cannot be rehearsed without an audience. And I just found now the actual email address where people can still apply for being participants of the production.
freaks@its-tübingen.en. No, it's the EU. EU. It's a EU, really, yeah. EU. freaks@its-tübingen.eu. Da könnt ihr euch bewerben für alle eventuellen Testvorführungen oder auch Mitmachstrukturen. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Take care. And good luck for the further process and for the shows. We will keep in touch and have a look at it.
Thank you.
Thanks.